you know, we realized that toward the end of the meltdown that he wasn't calming down because he couldn't calm down. And so rather than try to reason with him and have a conversation with him, we just kind of left him alone for a while, let him get it out of his system. And that kind of slowly started to work. Sometimes they just have to come down because when they're in the middle of the meltdown, nothing you say is going to get through to them.
Like once they hit kind of like a peak point of meltdown, crying, whatever, like they're gone. You have to wait until they cry it out.
Welcome to Dadsplaining, a weekly chronicle of all the weirdest, messiest, grossest, and funniest parts of fatherhood, hosted by two first-time dads. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Brandon.
And it has been a while. Brandon and I have taken several weeks off for a number of reasons. We're going to get into all of it and catch up on what's going on in our parenting lives as dads of toddlers. But before we get into all of it, Brandon, if our listeners want to reach out to us with questions or comments, where can they find us?
Please give us a like or a follow on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Dadsplaining Podcast. You can reach out to us directly, dadsplainingpodcast@gmail.com. And you can check out this and every episode anywhere you get your podcasts.
We usually publish new episodes every week. Sometimes that's a little bit of an exaggeration, especially in the middle of summer when things are super crazy. And in my case, school is out and parenting is a lot more disorganized and hard to predict. But you can subscribe to us on the podcasting platform of your choice. And if you enjoy the show, we would love you forever if you would write us a review or at least give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or the podcasting platform that you use. It's a really easy way to help us connect with more parents. So this week, we are just going to catch up because it has been several weeks since our last episode. Brandon, you and I, we got together with our wives once over that span, which was the first time in quite a while, but I haven't really gotten the chance to talk much with you since then. So I just want to hear what's new, man.
What is new? What isn't new? I think there's, you know, there's just a general overall sense of how challenging things are right now. That's part of the reason why we haven't been meeting as regularly is that, you know, at the end of the day, we are parenting in the background, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And we are beyond that, just living life. And I think life's super difficult for everybody right now, and maybe a little more difficult for parents or just anyone who has to also then depend on another person or has another person dependent on them. Let me say, I have to figure out what works for me in the challenging moments that we have right now, as well as what works for my son. And then whatever he needs can supersede me and overwrite what I'm doing. So it's challenging, you know, six ways to Sunday. And yeah, it's just, it's a tough go of it right now. So I know at least for me, it's, this has not been the priority because there's a lot of priorities we have to do on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And it tires us out. It tires us out a lot. It's draining mentally. It's very challenging. But at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to hang out with you, Jesse. I wanted to, to talk to you. And so I figured, okay, we'll record it because that's what we do when we hang out anyway. And so if there's something I've realized that I've been trying to do more of, it's that it's not going to stop being hard as much as we would like it to. And, you know, even outside of a COVID situation that we're unfortunately still in, it's just kind of general parenting know-how is that it, you know, it doesn't stop. Parenting doesn't stop. Yeah. It doesn't stop being hard. So I need to reach back out and get connections going with people again. Like you said, we hung out for the first time in forever, just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Without kids. And we hadn't done that in a long time. And that's not, we should do more of that.
Drank a lot of wine. It was nice.
We did. It was quite wonderful. But you know, beyond that, you know, we'd let friendships lapse. We'd let communication lapse. You know, some people are disconnected from parents and family and other people like that. That's tough. So trying to put some of that back together and like the few times where it's worked out, it's been really nice. Really nice just to see people, interact with them, have the sense that we can plan things and do things like Jesse and I hanging out, like it was able to happen and we did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrifying, you know, do things at your comfort level, but like it worked for us. And that's felt really nice. So I don't know. That was the me that just kind of came out, generally speaking. And then I don't know what's going on with Noah. He's in a new class. I was just kind of given you the update on the side here, Jesse. He's 3.5, so he's like getting closer to pre-K. I know you know that because you guys are even further along, a little bit older than Noah. And so we're moved up to a new class, and it's been an adjustment for him. So, you know, it's every time the class changes, this tends to happen. It takes a couple weeks to adjust. And I think he's just starting to turn the corner, but it's taken a while. It's been like 3+ weeks, and it feels more, I don't know if I just forget every time, but it feels like it's harder this time. What doesn't help is that his like kind of best friend moved to a different daycare closer to where their parents Aww. Live. So he kind of like lost his best friend at the same time that he changed classes.
Oh man.
But you know, he's with, you know, the class moved pretty much together. So he's got familiar faces, if you will, but you know, new class, new teachers, new, you know, environment, because it's in a different room than the other room, best friend not there. So that's been a big challenge, I think, so for him adjusting.
When you say having trouble adjusting, what's coming out? Is it like behavioral issues, or is it just kind of his mood? What are you seeing?
I mean, at the end of the day, we're lucky, but I'm a parent, so I get to worry as much as I want to. Mm-hmm. You know, we're lucky because he doesn't, you know, complain so much, you know, overtly, but mm-hmm. what you can tell very clearly, because we drop him off every day, he doesn't want to go in.
Oh, I see.
Class. And so that never feels good, because then we've talked about, you know, years past now, since, you know, we've been in daycare with my son since he was 6 months old, basically, like,
yeah,
why we felt it was good for him. And it feels weird to leave him or whatever, and yeah, push him into a class and he doesn't want to do it initially. But yeah, then you just kind of have to relive that every time you change classes, where it gives them a chance to remember like, oh, I don't have to be here. I should be at home. Mm-hmm. I just want to hang out with mommy and daddy. I want to stay at Noah's house, as he would say. Aww. So that's happening. You know, he's like, I want to go home when we're dropping him off. Or every day he would ask us, you know, can I stay at Noah's house?
Oh, man.
You know, he would say, you know, what day is tomorrow? You know, he wants to know when the weekend is, because he knows the weekend is when he gets to stay at Noah's house. Wow. So like, I mean, these are like gut punches
on yeah.
A daily basis. And like, I don't, unfortunately, you know, this is who we are. This is what we've decided. It has to happen. We're not going to make a big life change. We've already kind of established this is what is needed for us. Mm-hmm. as a family and for myself and my wife as individuals and career people as well. So, you know, we kind of have to push through it. And that means telling your kid like, no, we're going to go to daycare, you know, trying to warm him into it, do all the things we can. You know, the good news is that he goes in and he has a good time.
Yeah.
And this is the challenge when you start daycares. It feels awful. They're not going to love it right away, but then they'll come back and they'll have had a great time. Because they don't mm-hmm. think about it. There's a lot of short-term memory loss, yeah, and they get to go in and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really valuable for them, and it's really good education-wise. So the good news is that I know all of that still happens.
Yeah.
It's just the mental piece of it's new, and it feels foreign. And, of course, he doesn't feel like he has his kind of, like, anchor.
Yeah.
Like a clear best friend. So I think he's trying to like meeting some new kids, making some new friends.
Mm-hmm. That's always hard.
You know, he's finding a teacher that he likes, you know, that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
things like that. You know, he's trying to figure that out along the way. So, you know, I feel like just in the last week, there's been one day that I can think of where like he didn't cling to me when we dropped him off, and he just like went in and did it. So, I mean, you know, fingers crossed, trying to take the positivity with us that, you know, this can be normal. The transition for classes. And then we got hit with the double whammy, like I talked about, with the change in the friend too. Obviously that probably would have made it smoother, but it's not like I'm going to blame the friend or anything like that. It's, this would have been a transition.
Stupid
no matter
toddler.
What. I know the parents. No, we're actually good friends with them. So it's not That's their nice. Fault. We yeah. still hang out, mm-hmm. but there's like a lot of, you know, it's a lot of little drama that, you know, mm-hmm. when you stack it on top of the current state of things, it's not that much. It's not that much fun. So it's been a little challenging on like feeling like, I mean, just as a person, it's hard to feel like we're doing the right things every day right now, and mm-hmm. then feel that way as a parent that I'm doing the right things every day, and then feel like I'm doing that when I'm making my kid do something that he says he doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
All of the above, but potty training's going okay.
Oh, good. Okay. I want to hear about that, because that's
where's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Seriously, you got to find those. You got to find those silver linings, man.
I know. It doesn't feel like there's a lot, but I mean, there really is. Like, we're having a good time. I'm going to try to bring it in on a positive note, right? Like okay, so potty training, like a lot less accidents. Doesn't seem to be having accidents at school, which is great. What's happened, I think, is that he's become regular.
Mm-hmm.
So he and his body are very regular now, and that's been a huge help. So every night, you can pretty darn well depend on it that right before bedtime, he poops.
Nice.
It's just that, and we've built it into his nighttime routine now, mm-hmm. and consequently has made the nighttime routine a lot better, is that after we do the bath time, you know, we do bath, books, and bed. You know, it's my mantra.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, the BBB.
Now it's, now we do bath, and then we do books on the potty. Mm-hmm. So he's got time to do that. And then we close out with like maybe one more book.
Yeah.
Once he's
you got
done.
BBBMB, bath,
that's,
books,
that's exactly
bowel
BBBBBB, booty on the, yeah, you know, it's all that stuff. And it's just like, it just started happening. And I was like, this is great. It used to be that we'd put him to bed and he'd be like, I got to go potty. And you're like, I hate you because I just put you to bed. How dare you disrupt me? And you're stalling for time. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we flipped it on him. We're like, we're going to call you out and we're going to put you on the potty first.
Yeah.
And you do your business if you want to. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, I'm going to do books while you're doing this so that if you are stalling, I still get to finish up my bedtime routine.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have to be a 2-hour bedtime routine.
You got to combine stuff when you can. Absolutely.
Which it can be sometimes. So we feel like we're winning on that front because he's going to the potty regularly every night. And with poops as being regular, because poops were always the mystery.
Yeah.
You know, he would never tell us. You have to watch his face to see if he's doing it. He still doesn't like to tell us or preempt us about pee either, but like that one's a little easier to just get him to do it every couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty quick versus the poops are just a total wild card. And so now that he's doing that every night at that same time, I can pretty much guarantee he's not going to have an accident poop wise because I know he goes every night and
That's awesome.
Been smooth sailing. It's helped the bedtime routine. Like he's finally getting to bed like before 9 PM with some consistency.
Beautiful.
It's just been like, it's been a blessing on the potty training end of things.
Amazing. If you're just joining us, we are talking about poop.
As we always do.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so here's my question for you. This is something we're struggling with. Is he self-directed at all with potty time? Like, is he telling you when he has to go, or are you just like every hour and a half, 2 hours saying, okay, potty time?
Yeah, no, I wish.
Yeah,
right?
The same
that'd
as
be,
us.
That'd be, he's still not. And this is why he still wears a diaper to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we still prod him constantly because he'd never give up the goose.
Yeah, no, we are on the exact same page. We're on the same level.
So the thing is, like, we just understand each other at this point and we just know where the cards are. And so if I just prod him regularly to pee, we'll be fine. If I let him do the pooping at the end of the night, I can bank on that now. So I just let it happen. That works out great. You know, we just make it very strict with him of like, when we say you need to do potty, like you got to do it. Otherwise you can't do whatever other thing is that you want to do, or we're going to leave. So we got to go potty before we leave. Oh, you don't want to do potty right now? Well, then when we get to where we're going, we can't go in until we go potty. You know, like we've just become very like hardcore about like, it's either you do the thing I want or you don't get to do the thing you want. Like reverse bribing in a way.
Yeah.
Because like we don't make it about the bribe. Like he still gets chocolate chippies if he goes pee pee or poo poo. But you know, we don't. That's not the carrot. We start with the stick in the metaphor of like you start with the the punishment, so to speak, and then you give the carrot afterward. We don't make it about the bribe. We make it about the well, you're not going to get to do the thing you want to do. That always tends to kind of shut him up.
No. Let me tell you that it is so hard to find the balance there. Like when you're trying to like regulate new routines and behavior and stuff, like figuring out like, do I do positive reinforcement? Do I do like locking down and being firm and, you know, all that stuff. And it's tough. Like it's, that's one of my biggest recent struggles is figuring out how to balance that. So I feel you.
We've gone heavy on the, like he has to do potty or he doesn't get to do something, or we just stop interacting with him, or we stop playing, or we turn off the show, or we don't continue with the fun thing, or I make it like, oh, we're out doing something, but you need to go potty because we're out and we know you need to. If you don't want to do it, I guess we'll go home. You know, like we just, I mean, and it's like, it's not a, you know, it's a threat, but it's not, you know, you don't have to be forceful about it.
Right.
I'm not telling you this, Jesse. I mean, you know what you're doing. I'm just saying like how I
know what I'm doing. I do not know what I'm doing.
Okay. You don't know what you're doing. Listen to me. This is what I'm telling you. I'm the expert here. How I, you know, say it is just very straightforward. I'm just, you know, like, okay, well, if you don't want to go potty, then I guess we're going to have to go home because you're just going to have an accident.
Yeah.
You know, I just very even tone, like directness seems to be working right now when it comes to wielding the punishment threat or whatever it is. And not just for like potty, but like if he's not doing anything that, you know, we don't want him to do, or if he's causing a mess or something, you know, again, it's not about yelling and raising the voice. Like, it's just clear, cut right to the chase, kind of like, all right, I guess we're done.
Nice.
So, woo, you got a lot going on there. We took the roller coaster, we took it down, and then we brought it back. Jesse, lead us where you will. Take us to the positive promised land, and or take us back into the pooper.
It'll be a little of both, literally and figuratively. We've had like the same kind of mix of highs and lows, like gains and losses over the past few weeks. And I feel like that's just kind of how it goes when you get to like the threes and fours, like, because there's so many new things and routines that you're trying to institute, like they're going to rebel against some, they're going to like get the hang of it with some things. And it's like very mixed up. So like, you know, some days David is like a joy and awesome and just so full of happiness and life and running around and laughing and playing. And then some days, sometimes in the same day, in the same hour, it's like meltdown on the floor, hitting his head because that's something he does, and screaming, you know, about not either not getting what he wants or having to do something he doesn't want to do, which are both equally devastating for him at times.
So he's a masochist is what we're saying. Yeah.
This is the crazy thing. And we talked a little bit about this in an old episode, but I want to revisit it sometime because I want to do some more research on it. When I was a kid, I did the same thing. Not very often, but in moments of like extreme being upset, being angry, I would hit my head on stuff. And other punch things. I feel like that's just like typical dude rage when you're a teenager and, you know, going through changes and stuff. But like, I don't know what it was. Like as a kid, I got lost one time and in a public place and like started hitting my head on a pole because I was freaked out about it. This is never anything that I did in front of David. You know, this is not something that he would have learned by observation. It's just he has kind of started doing the same thing. And I don't know if there's like some genetic link there, like if we're both the same particular type of crazy, but it's been interesting. But that's been less of a problem than it used to be for a number of reasons. So that's one nice gain. Potty training is going about the same as it's going for you. One thing that we did, I talked before about how we started giving him tablet time, device time only when he was on the potty. And it was great because it was a great incentive for him to go potty. And for a while, he wasn't fighting us on going potty. But we realized within the past couple of months that he became very possessive of that tablet and of the time playing those games, to the point where we could not get him off the toilet and we could not take that tablet away from him or he would have a meltdown. So the change, like I decided it's just time to cut it. And we give him the tablet at night. His last potty break of the night, we'll give him like 15 minutes to play a game while he's doing his last potty break. Other than that, we'll sit and read books to him and that's it. And that was very difficult for him at first because he was so used to getting it and having it. But he adapted and now he doesn't really ask for it much anymore. Cause he likes being read to, especially fun books like Pete the Cat and stuff like that. So that's been cool. He's still not self-directing. Like I said before, like we still have to tell him pretty much every time to go TT. If he tells us, it's rare and it's super cool and it's usually too late because he's already gone or started to go, but it's cool that he's starting to understand that. So that's been something that's been really awesome lately, is kind of seeing the evolution of that and figuring out what doesn't work and tweaking it and getting through that. One thing that we've started struggling with lately is kind of balancing like the styles of parenting, you know. Like I've always struggled between like being a firm parent and, you know, regulating behavior and enforcing decisions and rules and stuff, and also being like patient and empathetic and loving and caring and all that stuff, which I like, you know, I pride myself on being. And I've started leaning more towards the firm because I realized I was going way too far in the opposite direction and nothing was changed. So that's something I've been experimenting with lately. It's just kind of, you know, like you said, never raising my voice. Like you never want to lose your cool around your kid because then you're not in control anymore. But just kind of applying, like you've said before, sort of the firm teacher tone, you know, this is the way it's going to be. You need to get with the program and we're going to do this. And that's just what's going to happen. And that has gone well a small percentage of the time. And most of the time it's met with like, oh my God, how could you do this to me? Yeah. Last night was, I want to share this because like this was an insane night. Last night we decided to go out and get ice cream as a family because he had a pretty good dinner. Like he ate a couple bites, like 2 bites of broccoli and 2 bites of chicken, which is pretty good for him.
Crushed it. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a win in our books, and we're happy with that. So we decide we're going to go out and get ice cream. We go to the local Walgreens, go to the freezer section, pick out a couple pints. And at first he's upset about that because it's not the particular ice cream he wanted, which is always the case. Like no matter what, he's excited about getting the ice cream, and then he gets the ice cream, and then he doesn't want that ice cream. He wants a different ice cream. That's no fun. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, toddlers are like that. So, you know, we're waiting in line. He's getting kind of hyperactive. My wife kind of escorts him away so that he's not, like, knocking things down and running people over. And she takes him over to the toy section. He starts, like, grabbing toys that he wants. And, you know, when we don't give him all the toys that he wants, meltdown rest of the night. Like, it was, like, the drive home. It was screaming. It was crying. I want my Spider-Man, this and that, whatever toys it was. And it was like that until we finally got him into bed. And I kind of wanted to share that story just to paint the picture that despite the fact that we host a podcast about parenting, we are not parenting experts. And you know, our kids are not toddler experts, and it's not always sunshine and rainbows. And like B, just to illustrate, like it's rough sometimes. Like there are those rough nights. But the cool thing was finally getting him in bed. We put him to bed together and like sat with him until he fell asleep, and he was suddenly like very loving, and you know, the mood changed once we read his bedtime story to him. And you know, and then from then on, it was like that same old kid that's so loving and adorable. And like, that's the dualism of parenting right there. It's like, sometimes it's awful and exhausting and like nothing you do is working. And then like 5 minutes later, it's going to change and they're going to be fantastic again. And that was kind of the lesson that I'm learning. It's like, just hang in there because it's going to be a roller coaster, highs and lows.
There's big emotions, is how it's described. And that's exactly what it is. They're going to have really wild, swings. And you know, usually the crying is good and, or what's necessary. And then it's also just kind of weird to your point, but it does happen that they just snap back from it. Like once they actually are done crying, they reach a point where they're done crying and they just stop and they're like, okay, I'm ready to play again. Mm-hmm. Or I'm ready to do whatever. It's funny you mentioned that story, because there's a story that we have with Noah that talks about big emotions. Yeah. And it's exactly kind of the story that you told. It's about a kid and his dad going to the grocery store, and the dad tries to set it up with like, we have a purpose for what we're doing here. We're buying something for a friend's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And then of course, what happens is they go to the toy aisle to pick it out. And the kid's like, here's the one for my friend and here's one for me. And the dad's like, nope, just for the friend. Uh-huh. And then they go to the checkout line, and this is where I hate the book and then the store that's mythical in the story, is that there's toys at the checkout line, and like, who are you trying to kill?
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to kill some parents here.
Wow.
By having toys at the checkout line. That's really rude and insensitive. And so of course the kid gets a second swing at it and is like, toy for me. And and the dad's like, nope, that's not what we're here for. And the kid has a meltdown, and it's just like, yeah, this is life. This is totally what life is about. And you just lived it. So congratulations. Yeah. You're famous. You've lived out the story of, I think it's called like two big feelings, I want to say.
Two big feelings. Maybe. Yeah.
Cause it's about like being really upset and as well as being like really excited.
Yeah.
Excited to do a trip, and you're excited about your toy, but then you're really sad when you don't get to have it for yourself.
Well, you know what, that kind of speaks to me right now, because like in the middle of it, you get so caught up in how this is affecting you. You know what I mean? Like how, I don't know what to do. This is so hard. How do I get them to stop and calm down and listen to me? That you forget that like, they don't know what they're doing either. And they don't want to be upset and screaming and, you know, having a fit. Like they would rather be happy. You know, most people are like that. And sometimes it is a tactic. Like, I'm not going to say that they're all angels all the time. Like sometimes it is a little bit of manipulation. But like, you know, we realized that toward the end of the meltdown that he wasn't calming down because he couldn't calm down. And so rather than try to reason with him and have a conversation with him, we just kind of left him alone for a while, let him get it out of his system. And that kind of slowly started to work. Sometimes they just have to come down, because when they're in the middle of the meltdown, nothing you say is going to get through to them, because they're literally like not even going to be able to hear you or understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I think this is like, you know, the science or the expertise behind it is exactly that. Like once they hit kind of like a peak point of meltdown, crying, whatever, like they're gone. You have to wait until they cry it out and can kind of come back down. And again, I'm going to tell you, Jesse, this is, you are a good dad because you did the perfect thing. This is exactly what happens in the book to the character, is that they take the kid outside, they let him finish out the crying. They eventually calm down and then they're like, do you want to go back inside? And like, we'll finish the trip. And then, and then, you know, it's also like pretends to tell it from the kid's perspective of like, the kid literally is described as like, I am too hot. I need to take my jacket off. I don't know why I'm so hot all of a sudden. Yeah. I hear my daddy near me. You actually said this. He's like, I hear my daddy near me, but I don't feel like he's close by. Like the kid feels like they're alone and don't have someone, and they're like isolated in a bubble because they're completely wrapped up, quite, you know, literally, metaphorically, in the emotion. And like, even when the dad is described as holding him, he's like, my daddy's near me, but I don't feel like he's near me, you know? So it's like, I mean, yeah, this is like, this is the deep stuff that that you're talking about. It's tough.
Exactly. It is. It's, yeah, I don't think you ever get 100% there, like finding the right balance, you know? You know, we interviewed Jonathan Wolf last year, and that was kind of his point. It's like, even 18 years down the line, you're not an expert by the end of it. You know, you just kind of survived it and learned your lessons along the way. And I think that's the best that like we can do. Like, we're still learning that lesson. And to any of the new parents listening, like, that's, you're going to learn that lesson over and over again, that like, you don't have all the answers, and that's totally fine. Because as long as like your intentions are good and you're trying your best and, you know, you're learning from your mistakes, like, you're not going to mess your kid up, you know, they're going to be fine. Yeah. Even if it's not, every decision isn't perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, your son won't remember this experience, but like, say he did, what he would remember down the line is that, I mean, you were there.
Yeah.
You know, you were there with him. He was doing something with you. You were present. And that's what it's all about, rather than like how perfectly you handled the situation. I doubt he'll grow up and be like, remember when you abandoned me in the supermarket at the, you know, if you had actually abandoned him, he probably wouldn't remember that. But it's like, remember when you didn't let me buy that stuffed doll, you know, in the supermarket? That scarred me for life.
No. And to top it off, he did not touch his ice cream that we bought him, but I did. And it was delicious. It was strawberry ice cream, and I enjoyed
Once
it
they
very
go to
much.
Bed.
So, you get those leftovers, man. I live for that sometimes. Like, you know, oh, hey, they didn't touch that chicken nugget. That looks pretty good.
Oh my God. I love going to Chick-fil-A because he can't eat all the nuggets. And then I get a little something at the end there. And like last night we got some pizza, and I was like, me and him were splitting some pizza, LOL, because he can't even eat half a slice. So I get the rest of it, you know, it's just like, living that good life.
Oh yeah. It's bittersweet too, isn't it? Like when they actually do eat a meal, because like on the one hand you're like, yes, good job, kid. And the other hand you're like, oh man, I was going to eat that later.
There's no leftovers. What happened here? I don't understand. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Especially when you make like the best food and then that's what they love. And you're like, there's no more casserole left. Oh, come on. I guess I want my kid to eat it.
It is what it is. Really quick, I wanted to give a shout out to at least two shout outs. One, we got a message from a new dad named Paul. Paul Graven reached out to us on Facebook last week. And he says, I just found out a few weeks ago that I'm going to be a dad. You guys have helped me feel a lot more prepared for what to expect just from listening to the podcast. I'm starting at the beginning, but I'm excited to listen my way up to the present time. And he said, you guys are the best, which is not true, but greatly appreciated. Paul, if you're listening, just want to say best of luck. If you're listening 3 years from now, by the time you actually, you know, catch up to where we are, hope everything's going great. We appreciate you listening, you know, even in the year 2024. we also got a comment here during this recording session, because we do this on Facebook Live, from Juan. Juan says, hey guys, started listening about a month ago on my commute to work. Love the podcast. We're at the 12 weeks mark. So definitely getting ready and learning from you guys. And Juan, I'm not sure if you're still in the stream, but we are very grateful for you listening. And hey, Austin. Brandon's wife just walked in and left. But anyway,
we play with live fire around here, guys.
Oh yeah, no, it is what it is. But we were lucky that we weren't recording when I had to jump out of the room because my pest control guy was here to clear out a wasp's nest. It's
that would have been great because there was just like a picture of Jesse just like running furiously in it. Yeah,
that actually, yeah. That perfect illustration that we're recording this podcast in between being actual parents, and that's kind of
and in real life, and we're actually real people, and we do actually have wives. And isn't she beautiful? Let's just point that out. Yes. You didn't really get to see it, but she is, guys. Let's just go with that.
We have real wives. We have real wasps. We have it all.
We have everything. We have the said pizza that my son did not eat that I now get to eat.
Maybe.
So I'm here for it.
That's the ticket. I feel like that's a pretty good place to wrap up for this week. Brandon and I are going to have a lot more to catch up on, to talk about, especially as, for me, the school year is beginning soon. My son is going back into daycare because he was off for summer break. We're actually thinking about holding off for a couple of weeks, seeing what my county does like with the COVID cases in the elementary schools and whatnot. But keep our fingers crossed that, that things go in the right direction. And we'll talk about all of that and more on the next episode of Dadsplaining, whenever that may be. But in between now and then, Brandon, if our listeners want to reach out to us one more time, where can they find us?
Please give us a like or a follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dadsplaining Podcast. You can reach us directly at dadsplainingpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out this and every episode anywhere you get your podcasts. And please leave a rating and a review. We'd really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And we've also got a blog on medium.com. We haven't updated it in a while, but we've got some great stuff from Brandon right on there. So we appreciate you guys, everyone who's been listening. We love being able to connect with you. If you have questions, comments, please reach out to us. We love hearing from you. We love, you know, sharing whatever little bits of advice we're able to give. And we want to continue doing that. And we will do so in the next episode. But until then, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Brandon.
And hey, Brandon, did I tell you that I had to give up my 401k?
No, that sounds terrible. What happened?
Nah, I just lost interest. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Oh, that was a dumb one.
Sounds like a compounding issue there.
Yeah. The advice and opinions expressed on Dadsplaining are solely those of its hosts and guests and should not be substituted for the advice of professionals. If you have a serious concern about the health or development of your child, please consult with your pediatrician. If you're experiencing an emergency, please call 911. Don't listen to us. We're really just good for dad jokes. If you're enjoying Dadsplaining, you might enjoy this other podcast from our friends here at WSB Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Jared Yamamoto from the Power Pod, and we are a weekly recap show where we cover the current events of the week. And of course, during these times, COVID-19 is on everybody's mind. We will cover the good, the bad, and the ugly regarding this crisis. We will be serious with the coronavirus, but we will also find ways to have fun with it as well. So be sure to check us out Saturdays from 11 to noon and Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, or grab the Power Pod podcast on any of your favorite podcast providers or your favorite smart speaker.